Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 13. I believe that's where we're up. Anyway. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nalavenu Sharastamba Kusha Ki Chaka Gar Varam Eka evatiyatoham adraksham vipanam mahat goram prati vyakaram vyaloluka shivarjiram. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grasses, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerous, fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Purport. It is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear. And the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deers, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of sannyasi. And in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Parivrajakacharyas like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Saksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam yena bhutale shayam rupa kadhamayam tadati sapadantikam adadanas tenam dante idam yache puna puna srimad rupa padam bhoja dulisham janma janmani vairagya yug bhakti risam payatnai apayam mamana bipshamandham Kupamburiya paradhuka duki sanatanastam prabhamatsanayami pancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhu bhaye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. Greetings from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Today I'm sitting in the living room of Shastra. So let's get into this story, Narada Muni's story, such a wonderful story, presenting really progressively, step by step, the process of Krishna consciousness, and that's why I thought it was such an important story to study. I had taught this before. I think about 10 years ago, I wanted to put the whole first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam on tape. And I had a very capable assistant. But basically, that was his main service, to just sit every day for an hour and a half and hear the Bhagavatam. And I remember how attractive this particular story is. So I'm going to bring you up to date here, because we have now we're up to the part where Narada Muni's mother has died, and we see his reaction on his path to perfection. We have that phrase that Rupa Goswami coined from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, well, adau shraddha tata sadhu sangha vajana kriya. Is from Shraddha, beginning with a liking or an appreciation, some type of experience, you know, even just a simple exchange with a devotee saying, this is nice. That's where the faith begins, the trust that's necessary to enter into bhakti, to appreciate bhakti. But I like to put the story in context, and I think it only takes 5 minutes, but begins, you know, Vyas has a service. And Vyas literally in Sanskrit means editor. Vyasadeva means the godly empowered editor. And he has to take the Vedic literatures, and what the Vedas are is when the Supreme Lord creates the universe with the same breath that creates the universe, the intention of doing so, and how everything is used for that purpose of awakening our eternal Krishna consciousness and moving progressively towards that path. That same breath, the knowledge of how to utilize everything for that purpose, directly and indirectly, is given. And therefore, everything in this world has a purpose or meaning. And if you have that particular knowledge, you can use everything for your benefit. And you can interrelate and react with everything for your benefit. And you can experience everything for your benefit. But that's okay, because that's a vast knowledge. And as times change, then according to the people's frame of reference, the Vedas has to be edited. Edited in one sense, a general term, but I'm just saying, just like Prabhupada, he expanded it. You know, he didn't give us the Bhagavatam, he gave the Bhagavatam with his purports, which is also the Bhagavatam, because he's giving us the frame of reference by which we creatures of the, you know, 20th and 21st century can understand this message. So he tried his best, and it was incomplete because he hadn't sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord. And without sufficiently glorifying the Supreme Lord, the people wouldn't get the message. So we're in the process now of him telling his story of how this process, which is the most essential process, especially for this age, described before. I was reading a very, very wonderful commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on one of the key verses in the Bhagavatam, etan nirvidyamananam, that, you know, it is definitely decided that, you know, that the best process is to chant here, you know, remember Krishna. And that's an answer to the question on which the whole Bhagavatam is based. What is the duty of a man who's not about to die, and what should he do, and what should he not do? This, the whole Bhagavatam is based on that dynamic. The Marge Prickett's about to die. He has 7 days. What should I do? What should I not do? And that's basically the first instruction. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that indicates that the three most important things if a person is about to die is to chant, hear, and remember Krishna. And of those three, Sankirtan, Namsir Sankirtan, chanting Kirtan, that's the most important. And of Kirtan, because you can do Lila, Rupa, Guna, chant about the activities, chant about the qualities, chant the Lord's form, and chant his name. Nam Kirtan is the most important. And of Nam Kirtan, chanting those names of your beloved Lord. For us, of Nam Kirtan means the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That's the most important for us, the most important process. So Narada Muni's life, and we know that story, it illustrates that the most important thing is that, the chanting here. And of course, it all begins with hearing. Before you begin the process of chanting, you've got to first hear. So his life illustrates, I believe most of you have been consistently hearing this class, so I don't need to go into the details, but it indicates, it's very, very beautiful, that most important thing is hearing from a hearing, and hearing means association with a self. Someone came on, needs to mute their phone or something, but anyway, it is to hear from a sadhu, hearing means from a sadhu. And when you get the association of a sadhu, your attention is turned towards Krishna, so you develop devotion, you begin to hear. And by that hearing, you change. That's the way to change the heart. The heart is contaminated by material desires, by fruitive desires. It's not selfless, which is the pure state of the soul. Material consciousness means selfishness. So how do you purify your heart? Well, this is the process. Hearing and chanting and hearing, and that comes from sadhu sangha. That comes from the associations of pure devotees. So we see in his life that whole process. And then a little bit about that qualification for hearing. It was his humility, his willingness to actually hear the truth. It's not easy to hear the truth. My God, what the truth about me means. How painful the truth, and I'm not saying the truth, how painful the philosophy is. If I actually am simple and humble and say to God, what you want, I will do. If I say to Guru, what you want, I will do. If I'm submissive and humble and please, just tell me the truth. I will live by that truth. How frightening. Because so many things that I am attached to, I'll have to give up. And so many things that perhaps I don't like, I'll have to accept. Of course, there's a progressive process. There's a progressive process. It doesn't start with complete renunciation. But the truth, I make this point very, very often, that when you're speaking, when someone's trying to understand philosophy, to accept, to accept the truth, whatever that absolute truth, it's difficult, and because it's challenging your conceptions, but many of the conceptions that we have are fortified by our material desires. That concept of enjoyment must be free from guilt. And therefore, if there are things that we're attached to enjoy them, we have to have a philosophy to support them, that this is okay. So when your philosophy is challenged, often what's being challenged is also your material desires, which may be the support of that philosophy to allow you to enjoy the world separate from God without guilt. So, but we see Narada Muni, you know, somehow or other, he was a very humble soul. And he was really sincere and eager. And we see, therefore, even as a young child, he became so serious. He was eager to hear the truth, whatever it means. Whatever that truth means to my life. He just wanted the truth. I was just thinking in his story, Prabhupada wrote something about Narada. He said, he's talking about commenting on Narada. He must be plain and simple to receive the instructions of a pure devotee. And I thought, you know, we had many discussions of this before, how, you know, especially you're translating a language, but language itself is understood according to your own experience. You know, in a Western culture, you say plain and simple. That doesn't seem real good sometimes. That seems like what? Someone who's plain and simple maybe means thoughtless, maybe mean fanatic, maybe mean, you know, whatever it is. Thoughtless, fanatic, blind, following. But no, I'm trying, when I read sentences like this, I really simplify it. I try to understand what it means to me. And I, at least, as complex as I am, I have that simple and plain faith in Prabhupada that he's representing the truth. What do you mean, plain and simple? It means honest. And you can't be honest unless you're free from false ego. Because as long as you have that strong desire, that strong identity that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller, it's hard to be honest, because honest means to expose that. You know, there's so many things. The complexity comes from that conception. I am the enjoyer and I'm the controller, but you're not. But if we have that desire, and we want that projected to others, and therefore we can't be simple, because it's painful to be simple, and it's painful to accept that truth that tells us we're not the enjoyer and the controller. So I'm just thinking of myself, you know, rather than have a stereotype of what plain and simple means, what does plain and simple mean to me? To receive the instructions of the pure devotee, to actually be humble and submissive to the absolute truth. And why I'm not? Well, because I have a hankara. I'm the controller and the enjoyer. And some of the instructions from the pure devotee do not support that conception. And some of the ways that I am do not support that conception. Therefore, I can't be simple. I can't be plain, I can't be obedient, I can't be submissive, all the things that they're recommending to hear the absolute truth. I'm just trying to apply it to myself. You know, I'm being very, very serious. But Narada was the exemplar. And it happened that, you know, by his circumstances, his humble background, he took advantage of it. He took advantage of it. And I always tell that story. I told it 100 times, but I think it's so sweet. When one time I was with Giriraj Swami, and he was telling me all these wonderful stories about Prabhupada and his intimate relationship with Prabhupada, and I just was amazed, and I just said, how did you get such mercy? And in his slow voice, he said, I'm just a mercy case. Qualification. Anyway, so we saw Narada, and by that simple faith, you know, he was able to fully experience the spiritual phenomena to actually change his life. There's a discussion in Bhakti Sandarbha, which is very interesting, which is going to come up in the next class. And I do apologize to the devotees who signed in on Wednesday and I wasn't there. It's the first class that I just completely forgot about. It had to do with a 7-hour drive and then being caught in a traffic jam in the Holland Tunnel. By the time I got to the next place, it just skipped my mind. No excuse here. But plain and simple. What was the last point I made? Just trying to figure it out. Anyway, just applying this concept. Oh yeah, I was going to say. So I was thinking. You know, I thought of one example. And Narada, reading Bhakti Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami, he wants to clear up some point that, because he knows in the audience there are people that are analytical and think. So there was one point, something came up about a contradiction between what he said, that the association of a pure devotee can affect you without awareness of who that person is. He said, it's so powerful. Satsanga is so powerful that even with a knowledge or awareness of what the status of the person is, his consciousness will affect you. But that seemed to contradict something else previously. So Jiva Goswami went back to that. And it said, yes, it will affect everyone except someone who has a little knowledge and is proud. So the spiritual phenomena, it can affect you. I thought of a very kind of sweet example. In the last years of my father's life, he was, somehow or other, he died at home, but he was seriously ill, and he was in NYU Medical Hospital there on First Avenue. So I went to visit him, and somehow or other, I guess it's partly due to the medical treatment and whatever it is, he was in a particularly vulnerable position, although he was a very, very nice man, my father. Kind of a humble person, actually. And I brought him a garland from, Radha Govinda. And when I walked in, he just looked at me in a very simple way, and he looked at me, he says, "Is it blessed?" And I gave him the garland, and he hugged it. He hugged that garland. So I was just saying, and somehow or other, the benefit. And then it was hanging, and when he came home, it was dried and hanging in the living room. It was like a good luck charm. But I was just thinking that the simplicity, the benefit he would make from the simplicity of the acceptance, somehow or other. And then I thought, another example was Narada Muni with that prasadam. The respect. I gave the example of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. His disciple offers him Jagannath prasadam. He circumambulates him three times and pays obeisances. The faith. The opening of the heart to spiritual phenomena. So that's there. And then, we got to the section where Narada Muni, his mother dies unexpectedly, and we knew there his dependence on her. And I just thought there was a word that I should go by. Some of these things are just interesting, and I just... Kalachodita, influenced by supreme time. And what influenced by supreme time, and what supreme time is, that's Vishnu. Vishnu means God who's pervading the universe. So he's perceiving everything. And he's focused on the heart of each individual. Even right now, Vishnu, or God, is looking at our hearts. He's seeing what we're doing. And he's making a plan to purify us of those desires and conceptions that keep us separate from God. Right now that's happening. And because of what we're doing now, in the future things are going to happen to us to purify us of those desires and conceptions that are separate from God. And how is he going to do that? Well, Vishnu is also Kala Atai. And that's the purpose of time, just to move the world, to give us experiences, to purify us of the desires and conceptions that God has seen within us in the past that are keeping us separate from Him and keeping us from our true glory as His unalloyed servant, eternally happy and blissful. So Kala Chodita, and He's moving the world. And therefore, another way to look at karma, and this is kind of heavy, is karma is at its time, our destiny. Our destiny is the world moving towards us to remove the obstacles to coming closer to Krishna. And those obstacles can be within our heart, and those obstacles can be external. And in the case of Narada Muni, it was external. And what was that? When he heard the instructions of those sages, he had a full awakening of spiritual knowledge. And therefore, somehow or other, although he was attached to his mother, he was caring for her and he loved her, somehow or other, how God puts together karma, what was best for her at that time probably was to leave the world and go to a better situation. And what was best for him is to be free from the family situation. So, but you know, Krishna put them together. So it's not like cruel to the mother. You know, here's my devotee. You know, the family's an obstacle. Let me kill the family. But God puts them together by His inconceivable potency. So probably also for the mother in her hard life, God somehow or other gave her all her bad karma in one lifetime. You know, husband left. No one knows about this story. Horrible. You know, fatherless, husband left, what mistake she made, who knows, in those particular times, what the humility must have been, what the crisis must have been, of the being all alone, whatever the case is. So somehow or other, she suffered through that, and then God said, perhaps take it to a better situation that was more favorable. This is also what she needed, and also removed it. So this is what karma means. Karma, our destiny right now, even though we think it's posing obstacles to our spiritual life, our destiny, what's coming to us, is actually removing those obstacles. And sometimes, you know, the obstacles that apparently are put before us externally are meant to remove the obstacles that are there internally. Kala Chodita, so Narada moved, and then he started to he took it as mercy, and he started to move. And the interesting thing about his moving, and he said after getting impetus in spiritual life, Narada Muni, even though a mere child, did not waste a single moment. He was so this is actually an advanced stage of spiritual life. We can see this is Nivarta Kalatvam. It's actually almost a symptom of bhava. Advanced stage is one doesn't waste a moment. And he's determined. He's determined. Why? He has the goal. Our practices are dependent on our attachment to the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is love of Godhead. And that's why we're hearing these books. And when you hear about love of Godhead, the desire for that. And he does. He just goes forward, straight. He's not distracted at all with that spiritual impetus. And then he passed through attractive things, and now after it shows that he passed through many beautiful, attractive things, then he also had very, very difficult situations. And it described that in the Varnashram, this Pari Vrajakacharya, which is the third order of sannyas, there's Bahuduk, I think it's Kutichak, I forgot which is first. Bahuduk, Kutichak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. First, the person can leave the village, and then the family can bring him food, and then he has to depend on begging, and then eventually he just begins to travel. And he depends on God. And he develops that faith that actually God is the maintainer. He developed Sharanagata, that full faith that in the service of God, I'm completely protected. In other words, you have full faith that actually I'm in a situation, I'm under God, and therefore everything that's happening to me is best, and everything I need will come. And even if food comes, that's what I need. Because the real protection is our bhava, or our devotion. That's what we protect. We want to protect our bhava or devotion. And to protect our bhava or devotion, Krishna may give us a palace. To protect our bhava or devotion, Krishna may take it away. It's so individual because of our karma. You can imagine all the things that we've done through time immemorial that have implanted impressions in our life that are separate from God, and subtle misconceptions based on those impressions. That's complex. We have to act simple, but we're not simple. We are complex. Our whole psychology is complex. And how to actually free us from those misconceptions that prevent us from seeing the truth and acting by the truth, or from seeing the truth, prevent us from seeing the truth and acting from the truth, prevent us from understanding what the truth is, and prevent us from the determination to act by that truth. So it's all happening to us. So, you know, this stage, Parivrajakacharya, complete dependence on God, just wandering, the previous sadhus, you know, no money, nothing, they just wander, and what comes by God's accord. And then they actually begin to see that, yeah, I am sheltered. I didn't know that before when I was in the house and when I was working, and I didn't have that sense so much. I thought it was me, but it's not me. It's not me, because here, look, without that external effort, just my dependence on God, everything's coming by its own accord. I'm seeing. That's the philosophy, actually. And so he's developing, it says, to gain faith in God and strength of mind. So he's gaining that faith in God. He's laying there, and in the evening, the snake comes, and he says, Sadhu Deke. The snake is seen as Sadhu. Hari Das Thakur in the cave with the python. He wasn't afraid. So we have a little time to go on here and read more about Narada Muni. 14. Parishra tendriyatmaham tritparito babukshita snatva pitva rade nadya upasprishto gatasama. Thus traveling, I felt both. I see that. I'm just looking at a word. Felt both tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both hungry and thirsty. So I took bath in a river, lake, and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. So he sees. Purport, a traveling mendicant can meet the needs of the body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of the householder to beg, but to enlighten them spiritually. I should also mention this type of dependence. It comes any time you live a principled life, according to your vana and ashram, according to your social situation, your economic situation. Any time you live an honest life. I just give you one example of that. I was in India before I left, and I was staying in an Indian's house. And I had to give $2,000 to someone, you know, and I had to leave that in India. So, and someone could pick it up. So I naturally go to this person's house, and I was so, I thought, you know, without a question, just to keep $2,000 in his house. And I was so close with those people. So I asked one of the brothers, can you keep this and someone will pick it up? And he turned white. And I said, why? He said, he came from this real pious family. He said, you know, in our family,
we never do anything illegal. And in India, it's not allowed to keep more than $500. You know, something like that. We never do anything illegal. He said, even when the black market exchange in India, you can get much more money outside, we would always put it in the bank. Our father taught us. Yeah, and you can debate whether for Krishna you can do it or make, you know, but the point is, if you follow Dharma, you're putting your faith that by surrendering to God, life will become more auspicious and not making material calculations. And you experience that. You experience that. And this is how a sannyasi experiences that in the modern day, by traveling and preaching. You experience that. Devotees had those experiences. Like going out on book distribution. How is it possible? You know, people go out and they experience, they see God working. They put themselves in a situation. And we all put those ourselves in different situations like that. Kasmin nirmanuje ranye pipalo pasta asita atmanatmanam atmastam yatashrutam machintayam. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate on the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from the liberated souls, yata shrutam, as he's heard. So he's heard from the liberated souls, and therefore he acts according to what he's heard, and it is according to his intelligence. See, when someone is very young, they don't have so much intelligence, a young child, and they're trained in obedience so that they can take advantage of someone who's mature, who has intelligence. But the idea is that person who has the obedience of someone who's young, because a child doesn't have the discrimination, their job is to train up their intelligence so that it can become internalized. So this is the process of education. This is the process of spirit. You get trained and you learn, but it's not that, you know, you rely on someone else's brain. You develop your own brain. You get education because it's not even practical. Someone can't tell you minute by minute what to do. You have decisions to make, and based on those decisions, you'll determine your future. The relationship with a teacher, with a father, with a mother, with people in authority, is to train the people and educate them. And this is why I think there's a famous statement by Prabhupada, you know, the people, I forgot what it is. You know, I want people independent thinking. It means this, he trains, he gives his books, the training is there, the intelligence fixed up so you can use it. So here's Narada Muni, he learned, yata shrutam, and then atmana, by his intelligence, and the power of his intelligence, then he's be able to meditate, because he understands so much that this is the goal of life, to focus on God. Now, the purport is very, very revealing here, because it shows how to meditate and how to become qualified. So how to meditate. One should not meditate according to one's personal whims. And it means practice of spiritual life. One should know perfectly well from the authoritative sources of Scripture, through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the super soul with every living being. So this is complete. From authoritative, the authority is Shastra. And you learn Shastra, you learn truth through someone who knows it, a teacher. And through that relationship, your intelligence is trained. And then you use your intelligence for your practices. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who is rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. So this is actually, how do you become qualified? You become qualified by service. you become qualified by the mood of service and acting upon those instructions. Sri Naradaji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightenment rightly. Then he began to meditate. Meditation is a very, very smarin or meditation. That's the goal. The goal of everything is to be able to focus your mind on Krishna. No one's denying that as the goal. The only question is what is the best process to get there? We understand the best process to do that is kirtan, because it's the most absorbing and the most purifying of all the senses. And it's given by Lord Chaitanya. This is such a nice point. Someone just came on. Make sure your phone's muted. Sankirtanaika Pitaro. This is a very... Lord Chaitanya is the father of Sankirtan. You please the father, you serve the son. So there's also it's not just mystical, obviously. Sankirtan is a process. It absorbs the consciousness, especially when you get the kirtan with the musical instruments. It takes someone who, especially in this age, the mind is not particularly controlled, and they're captured within the whole context of the kirtan. And what's within the kirtan? It's Nam. So it enables someone to get a much higher level of focus than they can naturally do by their own capacity and intelligence, etc. And it's Nam, and it's service to Chaitanya, so that Lord Chaitanya is mercy. That purifies the consciousness to the ability to think of Krishna. The goal is thinking of Krishna, but this is the process. And now we'll do one more verse for today. Jayatas charanam bhojam bhavamir jatta chetas okantya asru kalakshasya vidhasin me shinai hari. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. Now, this point is actually, I don't have time to discuss it fully now, but this is very much akin to the very, very second verse of the Bhagavatam, where it discusses the process of hearing and how powerful it is. It says, Sadyo vidyabharudyate cha kriti bi shushushubis takshanat. That by this culture, the knowledge of the Supreme Lord is established in the heart. How? Sadyo, without delay. Takshanat, without delay. Sadyo, at once, within the heart. So this is the process when one actually has that type of faith. It has immediate effect. And immediately, and the story that Prabhupada gives is of this very, very wealthy Calcutta zamindar named Lal Babu. And somehow or other, he was a very, very pure soul, perhaps from previous life. And he was doing his work in the world, and a humble sweeper lady came with her, and she was sweeping, and she just looked at him very politely and said, she had to do her job, time is passing, move on. And because of his qualification, he was plain and simple. There was no false ego in him. He was ready to accept and embrace the truth fully. It was just a question of hearing it. He heard that as the full message of the Bhagavatam. You know, time is moving. Time is passing. Move on. In other words, like Narada, it's time to get serious. He heard that fully. And the question is raised, why that doesn't happen to us? It's because we're not plain and simple. And why we're not plain and simple? We have false ego, we have material desires, and, you know, therefore we have to be purified and repeatedly hear. And then when we, by hearing, become repeatedly purified, when we become plain and simple, in the, and when I'm saying, again, when I say those terms, not thoughtless, not blind, but really sincerely in the heart, really wanting the truth more than anything else, and willing to accept it when it comes fully, then the effect is immediate. It's interesting how the conceptions prevent the full effect of the spiritual phenomena, the message. And then he came to Vrindavan and he lived in a hut and built his, with all his money, he built one of the most beautiful temples in Vrindavan, the Lal Babu Mandir. It's beautiful. And he lived in a hut outside, very simple, plain and simple. So this is the example of Narada and Dinavatsala. He got that mercy. He was humble and pure, and he took that environment to actually imbibe that kind of mood. And that's why Jiva Goswami says the Kali Yuga is such a favorable... He quotes from different scriptures why it's so favorable. Because he said, actually, it's harder to get proud in this age because we have so few qualities, in one sense. If you can just, you know, if we actually are honest and simple, we can become humble. And therefore that statement he made, which I can repeat again and again, that devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of false prestige. And this is why Lord Chaitanya said, wear that verse around your neck, Trinadapi Sanichena, Tororapi Sahishtana, Amanina. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. Because you're chanting it with sincerity. There's no false ego. So immediately this happened to him. And then in the purport, which we'll probably go over next time, Prabhupada describes that this is the bhava stage, because he has transcendental affection. The mind is transformed in love. Bhava nirjita. This is how Rupa Goswami describes bhava. And then the heart softens, the emotions come, and then Krishna appears. He appears. And Prabhupada in the purport, we'll go this next time, goes over Rupa Goswami's verse. And he says it starts with what? It starts with Shraddha, or a liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, right, you associate sadhu sangha. In the third stage, then you begin to practice, and then this dissipates the misgivings. And when the misgivings are there, there is strong faith. You become fixed, and the taste increases in greater proportion. Then you know that shraddha comes to a real ruchi, and it leads to attraction, asakti. And after this stage is bhaya, that's prior to the level of Godhead. So we'll start with that next time. I'm going to just stop. Are there any questions?
Okay, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Gail, you are a very patient person, completely calm. And when God said to you, God gave you the word in your heart, I should now ask a question. On that desire, you have asked the question. Yeah, what's the question?
Yeah, it's about. I mean, I think maybe if I had more time to think about this, I could come to something. But when you talk about the Parivrajakacharya,
yeah,
and you know the fact that he sees by his experience that, you know, even without making any endeavor, Krishna is arranging for his welfare.
Yeah.
Now, and so I'm trying to reconcile that concept with the fact that we should actually, though, make an endeavor in order to inspire Krishna's reciprocation, too, you know?
Okay, right.
As, you know, so on the one hand, it seemed like, you know, I would like to see how Krishna is my protector, maintainer without my, you know, endeavor. It's not by my endeavor.
Well, he's making an endeavor. He's doing his duty. That's, and God is reciprocating. It's not like he's not doing his duty. He has his duty. And his duty is to travel and for his own purification and experience God's creation and to enlighten the people that he meets. So it's not like he's making an endeavor. He's just not making an endeavor for his personal maintenance, because that's the state, because one at that stage, and this is the traditional sannyasi, is at that level of realization and faith that they can live that way without disturbance. And also there's nobody to maintain, so you don't have to worry about them also. In another stage of life, that's not one's duty. And therefore, it is their duty to make some endeavor. Even if the fact of the matter is that the ultimate result is up to God, they still have to make their endeavor, but at the same time, they do that endeavor with faith. For example, they don't work 20 hours a day. You know, they work 8 hours a day, let's say. And they understand that, you know, spiritual life, et cetera, and that God is maintaining. He's not, you know, but they don't over-endeavor. So that's the faith. So I would say in that sense, it's not, I think the thing is, that it's not that people don't make endeavor, right? But they have faith that God is maintaining. In other words, it's basic Krishna consciousness. You make the endeavor, but the results are up to Krishna. And therefore, the endeavor is not done with fruitive intention. The endeavor is done as your duty,
mm-hmm.
for your purification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And also, still concerning these different levels of sannyas, you know, if at the third level, you know, you have complete reliance on God, then what's the Paramahansa stage?
Well, the Paramahansa stage is even a higher level of renunciation, because he doesn't even move. At least he's walking around. The Paramahansa is just not even, he's just standing in one place, just chanting all the time. So it's like that's the complete, say, you know, and then in our line, you know, Paramahansa Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, the last stage of his life, he shuts himself off just chanting Hare Krishna, you know, and before that, you know, one is traveling. So that's like even, and the example in the story of Dattatreya, his different gurus, one of the gurus is the python. Why? Because the python just stays in the tree and, you know, doesn't worry about anything. And when God sends some animal below the tree that he can eat, just falls off of the tree and swallows him and goes back into the tree. So he learned from that how God is depending, and God is maintaining everyone.
But I thought that was the level of the Parivajakacharya, that he has understood this now.
He's understood this, but that's a higher understanding of it. He's just sitting in one place just chanting. He's not even walking. He's not even endeavoring. At least the Parivajakacharya, he's thinking, in my journey, I will get berries. In my journey, I will get water, and I will get things. In other words, it's a little bit higher. You know, it's like you go out and you're walking, and you think, in my journey, I will get these things. And now here's the Parivajakacharya. He's just staying in his thing, whatever comes by God's accord. It's a little bit like a little bit of a higher level of renunciation. Mm-hmm. Gail?
Yes.
After this, I'm actually going to be driving someplace.
Delaware. I'm coming back to New Jersey. I said I would give you some time for questions. I may give you a call. But both my hands are on the wheel. Go ahead and earpiece. Maybe.
Okay.
Get all your questions. Anybody else like to ask a question? Okay. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Advaita Swami here.
Maharaj, I will see you. I think 1:30 is okay. I will be there by 1:30.
Okay, whatever works for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare well.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I am.
Do you still have any plans to come to Austin?
You planted those plans. I will have to coordinate that with Mahamuni. And Johnny Thai said if I go, then he would like to go. So
great.
Let me see if I can make a plan to come down there.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for today's class very much.
Nice.
Mother Indrani.
Yeah, of course. Everyone can recognize you. Thank you, Mother Indrani. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Bharati.
Bharati, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I may come with Jayadvaita Maharaj and hear him speak today.
Okay. So you are coming to our temple, Maharaj?
There's a good chance. I'm going to meet Jayadvaita Maharaj in a couple of hours. I'm thinking of, rather than continuing where I'm going, I may.
Oh, I can't wait to see you, Mother.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Thank you all. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vevacha patitanam padanibhyo vaishnavevyo namo namah.